Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May the Lord be praised in the reading of his word. May we be blessed in its hearing, for this is the gospel of the Lord. I'm going to give the homily later in the Mass.
Please be seated.
Now, for those of you who were thinking that I was going to save the homily for the very end of Mass after communion, and therefore you could do a quick scoot out right as communion was happening, I hate to disappoint you, but I will. Good morning, everyone. I thought it would be appropriate to have the homily at this point because what I'm going to focus on is the Our Father, which is the prayer that occurs, of course, when the apostle asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." One of my favorite columns in the Los Angeles Times, I turn to it every Sunday morning, probably right after I say morning prayer. I go to the business section, and there's always an article there called "How I Made It." And somebody talks about, you know, they interview someone who's an entrepreneur of some sort, and they tell about how they were able to be successful in their life, in their business dealings. I think that's quite a kind of a common experience for us, in the sense that what we like to do is, if we know someone who's been successful, I mean, who of us wouldn't like to have a nice conversation with Warren Buffett, right? Have that lunch conversation. You know, to have a conversation with someone who has been very successful at some point in their life, in some way, and to try to glean from their life what it is that they feel has made them successful. Well, that's what the apostle does today, doesn't he? The apostle goes to Jesus and the apostle say, "Teach us how to pray." And so Jesus said, "When you pray, pray like this," right? And he begins by saying, "Father." He addresses the Father. And the scripture scholars tell us that probably what Jesus used was the word Abba. And James Martin, the Jesuit priest, who was a prolific writer, he wrote a book recently, or a couple of years ago, called Jesus, A Pilgrimage. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I would highly recommend it. It's a rather thick book, but I've been reading it for months. That's not a criticism of Martin, but rather there is so much rich material in there that I keep stopping and meditating over what he has to say. And one of the things he talks about is he and a fellow Jesuit went to the Holy Land on a pilgrimage. And that's how, in one sense, how the book came about. But he said he was walking down the street one day in Jerusalem, and he heard this little child who had gotten kind of lost from her dad. And she said, "Abba, Abba." And he realized that here, this language that Jesus used was the language that was even being used today. It's a very affectionate term that one would use for one's father. It's like we would say daddy, you know, when we were maybe kids. Maybe some people still do, even as adults, would say daddy when they address their father. Now, why is that important? That's important because it tells us something of how Jesus saw the Father, how he saw God, his Father. And the question for us is, how do we see God? You know, we've all been subjected, I'm sure, in our lives, even as Catholics, to what we call those hellfire and brimstone sermons, you know? And we go, oh my goodness, oh, I felt guilty before, I really feel guilty now. And I don't know what I did, but I feel guilty, you know? It's that kind of my point is how can we have a relationship with a God who is raining down hellfire and brimstone on us? It is amazing the number of people that you run into, though, who still have that angry God within them. Do you ever meet those people? I mean, they are very angry people. I don't know what they're so angry at. Well, I kind of do, but, you know, they're really, really angry folks, and they're ready to tell you just how angry they are and why God's going to punish all of us and send us all to hell. Well, I don't know about you, but that's not the God that I worship. But what do we do in our prayer? Jesus is instructing us in our prayer. And I was reminded of a saying I came across from Rabbi David Wolpe. Rabbi Wolpe is a rabbi here in Los Angeles, and he's a rather famous rabbi and speaker. He's a phenomenal speaker. And he says that one of the problems sometimes that we have in prayer is we're trying to manipulate God instead of realizing that it's our duty, in a sense, through our prayer to come to God's will so that we understand God's will for us. Now, that sometimes is a huge task, isn't it? Because it can take a lot on our part to do that. How do we come to God's will? And when do we pray? Maybe that's another question. What is our prayer? And how do we pray to God? Do we turn to God only when we are desperate and need help? Or do we pray consistently to God every day? Well, you say, well, we're here in church, so I guess I'm praying here. Yeah, okay, we are. That's true. But I would encourage you to look for those opportunities when in each day in your life, when you can turn to prayer just for a moment and to pause and just say a quick prayer. You notice back in the windows back there, there's the two Teresas, and which I pointed out before. One of their names is misspelled, but I'm going to talk to you about Teresa of Avila, the Spanish mystic. And Teresa, I'll call her Teresa. Teresa was very busy in her life, but she was a mystic. She spent hours in prayer, et cetera, et cetera. But one day, one of the nuns in the convent complained to her, and they said, you know, we have too much busyness here in the kitchen. Why don't you give us some time off so that we can go and pray? And she gave a wonderful response, I thought. She said, listen, she said, God walks among the pots and pans. I thought that was just great. Now, you know, we don't need necessarily to be in church. I mean, we need on Sunday, we do. But at other times, that we can find God in our daily experience. That is such an important point for us to achieve in our lives, for us, that that God walks not just among the pots and the pans, but among families, among our work settings, whatever they may be. God is there with us if we just pause and recollect ourselves and remind ourselves of that. I'm going to end on this point and just a couple of questions at the end. I have a couple that I've known for many, many years, Dave and Marion. And Marion is a very funny person, and I can imagine that she is a little contentious at times. I don't know. I haven't seen that side of her, but I just get that impression of her. And I've often wondered, I thought, boy, that must be quite a marriage. And one day, she spontaneous, I didn't ask her about her marriage, but she told me this. She said, you know, she said, Father, she said, every night, no matter what has happened during the day, no matter what arguments Dave and I have had, no matter how we're feeling, when we get into bed, we reach across and we grab our hands and we say the Our Father. Isn't that beautiful? That their day will not end in anger, it will end in prayer. For all of us, I think that's a great caution. So let's look for those opportunities to pray. If you're a parent, pray with your children, right? That's so important. One of my former students, who I was really surprised by this once, because I had to wonder at his level of faith for some things he had shared with me. And he said to me, every night, he had two little boys, and he said, every night I go into their bedroom and I pray with them before they go to sleep. So that's the last thing we do. Isn't that beautiful? Think about that. We all have opportunities to pray and to bring ourselves closer to Almighty God. And we will pray the Our Father now, a prayer that no matter what our faith tradition may be, as I came down Fremont here, I passed by many Christian churches, and you know what? We all say the Our Father. Please stand. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, O Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory.